Good morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we certainly do thank you that we can be here today and worship you and sing praises to you. Lord, we're thankful for the freedoms that we do enjoy here in America. And Lord, we ask a special blessing on our country that you would continue to grant us those freedoms. But Lord, we also pray now that as we turn to your word, that you would give us clarity and understanding on your word and especially what you have done for us, the forgiveness in life that you give us through your Son. Lord, we pray that you would block out a few distractions in our minds so that we can focus on your word. And Lord, that we are refreshed here today, that we're equipped here and encouraged by each other to serve you in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wanted to start, I'm going to ask you a little bit different question than I asked the kids. But I guess my question is, how many of you have ever needed just a little bit of hope? And I'm going to probably say every single person in here at some point in your life, and it may be right now, that we've needed some hope. I mean, whether it was a circumstance, an individual circumstance that we've dealt with, or maybe it's just simply last week, in the last few months, when we're thinking about our country, we just need a little bit of hope, something to hold on to, something to look forward to. As I mentioned to the children, Friday was a Veterans Day, and I couldn't help but think about hope in the sense of Veterans Day as I was preparing for this today. Because as I thought about a military person's life, I wondered how often did they just need a little bit of hope? And I thought, especially in the midst of the chaos of family members being deployed and some family left here, just the turmoil, the uncertainty of what goes through a military family's life at those points. I mean, the chaos on the home front, the chaos overseas where your loved one is surrounded by danger every single day. I have a video clip that I think really depicts some of that turmoil in a military family's life. It's a speech that Ronald Reagan gave. This is just a portion of that speech. I would like for us to watch that.
Someday, Liz, I'll go back, said Private First Class Peter Robert Zanetta of the 37th Engineer Combat Battalion and 1st Assault Wave to hit Omaha Beach. I'll go back and I'll see it all again. I'll see the beach, the barricades, and the graves. Those words of Private Zanetta come to us from his daughter, Lisa Zanetta Hen, in a heart-rending story about the event her father spoke of so often. She tells some of his stories of World War II, but says of her father, the story to end all stories was D-Day. He made me feel the fear of being on that boat waiting to land. I could smell the ocean and feel the seasickness. I could see the looks on his fellow soldiers' faces, the fear, the anguish, the uncertainty of what lay ahead. And when they landed, I can feel the strength and courage of the men who took those first steps through the tide to what must have surely looked like instant death. And like all the families of those who went to war, she describes how she came to realize her own father's survival was a miracle. So many men died. I know that my father watched many of his friends be killed. I know that he must have died inside a little each time. Lisa Zanetta Hen began her story by quoting her father, who promised that he would return to Normandy. She ended with a promise to her father, who died 8 years ago of cancer. I'm going there, Dad. And I'll see the beaches and the barricades and the monuments. I'll see the graves and I'll put flowers there just like you wanted to do. I'll feel all the things you made me feel through your stories and your eyes. I'll never forget what you went through, Dad, nor will I let anyone else forget. And Dad, I'll always be proud. Through the words of his loving daughter, who is here with us today, a D-Day veteran has shown us the meaning of this day far better than any president can. It is enough for us to say about Private Zanata and all the men of honor and courage, we will always remember. We will always be proud. We will always be prepared, so we may be always free.
I mean, I just really can't imagine that chaos. Sorry. That turmoil in those people's lives, the things that they experienced, the things that they witnessed, the things that they tried to express to their children, and the things we try to express today to our children and grandchildren, to remember what people went through so that we can have what we have here today. I normally do this at the end of the service, but I just would ask anyone who's served our country, currently, past, if you would please stand up. We are honored to have you as a part of our congregation. We are honored that you served our country in the way that you did. Thank you very much. You know, if we think about history, we think about all the wars that our country has been through. So we think about the chaos that these men and women have experienced. Chaos is actually nothing new. We experience it daily. Everyone has experienced the chaos that the world brings in our lives each and every day. And I think for today, even our gospel reading for today, the Luke passage in chapter 21, the disciples were getting a glimpse. I mean, Jesus was preparing them actually for the turmoil that they were going to experience in their own lives. I mean, if we look at that passage, Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 5, everything looked pretty good to the disciples. I mean, it says in verse 5, some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. I mean, right before this passage, they're sitting there and Jesus is watching that widow drop in those two coins in the temple. And the disciples are just looking at how big things are, the stones, how beautiful they were, and probably amazed at how men even put those in place and all the things that were dedicated to the temple. And if you think back to the Old Testament, they did not spare any expense for God's house. I mean, most everything was overlaid with gold, and these stones were massive that the disciples are looking at. And Jesus tells him in verse 6, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." These stones that took masses of men to put into place, Jesus is telling them that they're going to be thrown down one day? That this temple is going to be no more? All these dedicated items, they're going to be of nothing? He does get their attention because they ask, "Teacher, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" And Jesus replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Have we had some of these things happen? I can't remember how old I was. I just remember my parents telling me about this, really. I don't remember the actual event. But we were at Cisco at Redeemer in the parish hall. My parents were at an adult Bible study, and us kids were off playing somewhere else in another room. And a guy walks in a white robe who claims to be who? Jesus. Of course, they call the police on Jesus, right? And police comes and takes care of Jesus. But here we have, that was a long time ago. And people are proclaiming to be Jesus. And in the Bible here, Jesus says, watch out for them. Don't be deceived by these people. Don't be surprised if it happens. And he says, don't be surprised when you hear of wars and revolutions, which, boy, we've had our share of those, right? In 10, he goes on, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you." Now he's talking really directly at the disciples here. "They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me." How much of that has not happened or is not happening right now as we speak? And really, Jesus referring to them, I mean, they're going to see death. They're going to be persecuted. I think all but one of the disciples traditionally have been recorded as being killed for the sake of Christ. I mean, it's sort of a warning here for the disciples, but it's also an encouragement because he's saying, don't be surprised when this happens, but stand firm because what? God's going to give you the answers and the things you need to do. And I think as we think about that for our own lives today, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the message, there's all of us have some sort of situation or have been in a situation where we need just a little bit of hope or maybe a lot of hope. And Jesus tells us, don't worry about that. I'm there. I'm going to walk alongside of you. I'm going to give you words to say. I'm going to give you the strength to get through this difficult time in your life. Those last two verses are very critical. "But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." You see, our hope in the midst of chaos is in Jesus. He promises to walk alongside of us. He promises to be there. He promises to support us and be who we need at that moment. As I thought about You know, this whole idea of chaos, it's pretty ironic that Jesus himself, who was in a place that had no chaos whatsoever, would decide that he would come down and live in your chaos, live in my chaos. Leave the perfect place in heaven with his Father to come in the middle of our muck and mud and the dirtiness of our lives just so that we could be free. Just so that he could give us life and forgiveness. And it says here that not a hair on your head will perish. Now I know you're thinking, well, that's not exactly true, right? Because he just told the disciples that what? There's going to be people who are going to persecute you and they're even going to kill you possibly. But when we think in terms of the physical body, sure, our physical bodies are going to die. But what Jesus is referring to here is that nothing in the spiritual sense can touch you. Because when you have Jesus in your life, you are free. You have forgiveness. You have eternal life. I think we mentioned that last Sunday, right? At All Saints Sunday. That's the promise that Jesus gives to us. And I would say this too. As I mentioned, we have all sorts of chaos going on in our lives. And some of it's in our own personal lives. Some of it's just as we look around the world, look around our country. We think our country is full of chaos, and it is. Our lives are full of chaos, and they are. But Jesus gives us that hope. And one reason why he gives us that hope is, first of all, to set us free so that we're one of his children, but we're also given that hope so that we can be someone who can give someone else hope. How many of you know someone who is in the midst of a struggle, in the midst of chaos in their life? And I'm going to say probably just as easy as we can say we have that moment, we can say, I know someone who's there. And you see, God can use us to bring that hope in the midst of their chaotic lives so that they too can understand and know that Jesus hasn't just left them alone. He hasn't just thrown them aside to be left to themselves. But he's with them, and so are we. You see, we can be the encouragement that people need to know that God is with them each and every day, regardless of what their struggles, regardless of what their challenges are in their lives. And so first today, I pray that we understand clearly and know what God has done for us. That he has given us forgiveness, that he's given us life, even in the midst of circumstances where it may not seem possible. But then also that he's given us that hope so that we can share that hope with people who need to experience who Jesus is, so that they can be a part of his kingdom as well. And once again, I feel like in our country here today, we are certainly blessed. God has watched over us. And we know that, and I sent out an email at the first of the week that stated, regardless of what happens in our country, who's in charge? God is. And God is God, and nobody can change that. I pray that we can be the encouragement for each other, that we can be the encouragement in a community and in the world to bring the hope of Jesus in the midst of so much chaos that's going on in our lives and in the people's lives around us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.